But he's doing great, trying. I appreciate it because running both things is hard. So, on that note, I will open it up to public comment. Of course, this is the time for public comment on all non-agenda items. So, if you have any public comment on non-agenda items, now is the time.
Hey, Justin, 401 with Gail. I'm going to move through this. I'm going to read some of this summarize. Even though, and he's telling the truck ordinance was enacted last fall, along with the compression release of the brake ordinance, both of these ordinances have not been enforced effectively in most cases, not at all, by the Eastern Police Department, the mayor, the attorney, and the public works director, according to the verbiage in the two ordinances, has resulted in danger to the Eastern residents to traveling public, damage to residential property, and also extensive damage to the city's residential streets. In addition, once you lose control but not consistently enforcing the Eastbound the truck ordinance, the Eastbound Express release Indian brakes ordinance, along with other various MCI violations, and as a direct result, the following are a very small sample of examples that support the statements made above. Photo one shows an example of an over-length, oversized self truck pup trailer combination violating the MCA by the pup trailer blocking the entire eastbound travel lane and part of the westbound travel lane, while still being attached to the dump truck while it's fueling at the South Lane Avenue Conoco Station diesel pump. As a direct result of the eastbound pickup truck trailer combination attempted to stop abruptly, but instead began sliding down Porter Street East, as shown by the dust and smoke plume in the photo, and into the eastbound westbound travel lanes, causing a westbound vehicle to take evasive action and end up traveling in the eastbound travel lane to avoid colliding into the pickup truck trailer combination. Photo two shows another example of an oversized overload semi truck trailer that's over 90 feet long, used to transport 30 large loads of dirt, where after filling up with fuel at the South Lane Conoco Station, the semi truck trailer combination turned west on Porter Street East and immediately began accelerating, traveling westbound the entire length of Porter Street East, utilizing both the westbound and eastbound travel lanes to the intersection of the street. It's extremely narrow with Montana Avenue, at a rate of speed well in excess of an acceptable rate of speed for the populated residential area, thus violating the eastbound the truck ordinance by traveling the entire length of Porter Street with no point of destination airway in the vicinity of Porter Street East, rather than utilizing South Lane Avenue and Main Street, which are classified as eastbound the truck route, and also removing one stop sign intersection along with not having to travel a narrow residential street. Then, while blocking the westbound travel lane, this oversized overload semi truck trailer turned north on Montana Avenue Valley Drive and traveled north to the stop sign and continued north. Photo three shows an example of a semi truck trailer combination blocking traveling westbound and eastbound travel lane at Porter Street, causing eastbound vehicular traffic turning off Montana Avenue and Valley Drive to travel eastbound in the westbound travel lane. Photo four shows the end result of the scenario documented in photo three, where the eastbound vehicle traffic running off Montana Valley to travel eastbound had to travel in the westbound travel lane into oncoming westbound traffic that hopefully had enough time to distance to stay up, to stop to safely stop and avoid a collision. Photo five shows another example of an oversized overload semi truck trailer combination over 100 feet in length that traveled a minimum of 2 to 3 times a week for at least 7 months, both directions on 43rd and the Grand Avenue South, violating the eastbound truck ordinance, and also park for days either on the west side of Grand Avenue South or the south side of Porter Street East, violating the eastbound parking lanes. Photo six shows the end result of the oversized semi truck trailer combination. Going photo five, violating the eastbound truck ordinance along with the MCA violation by traveling eastbound in the westbound travel lane, causing westbound vehicular traffic to stop along with causing a westbound concrete truck to attempt to stop abruptly, but instead then sliding down 33 east due to its speed, as shown by the dust smoke plume in the photo. Photo seven and eight shows another example of an oversized overload semi truck trailer combination over 110 feet in length, makes wider than normal turning movements that is used to transport very loads, large loads of fuel, where after delivering fuel to the South Lane Avenue Conoco Station on November 12, 2025, at approximately 2:35 p.m., the semi-truck trailer combination turned west on Porter Street East and immediately began accelerating, traveling westbound for the entire length of Porter Street East, utilizing both the westbound and eastbound travel lanes to the intersection of the street. It was extremely narrow, with Montana Avenue and Valley Drive at a rate of speed well in excess of acceptable reasonable speed for a populated residential area, thus violating the eastbound truck ordinance by traveling the entire length of Porter with no point of destination anywhere in the vicinity of Porter Street East, rather than utilizing South Lane Avenue, which is classified as an eastbound truck route, and also removing one stop sign intersection along with not having to travel on a narrow residential street. Then while blocking the eastbound travel lane and also blocking the northbound and southbound Montana Avenue Valley Drive vehicular traffic from turning onto Porter Street East, this oversized overload semi-truck trailer turned south onto Montana Avenue to the intersection of US 12, then turned on US 12 and traveled westbound. It should be noted that due to no enforcement of the eastbound truck ordinance, this type of oversized overload semi-truck trailer combination routinely travels the entire length of Porter Street East rather than exiting the south lane Avenue Conoco Station, utilizing South Lane Avenue to travel to US 12. Photo 9 shows another example of MCS violation where a semi truck trailer combination came to a stop to make a delivery in the southbound travel lane of Montana Avenue Valley Drive, which is not a common occurrence, forcing southbound truck and vehicular traffic to travel around the delivery truck into the northbound travel lane and into oncoming northbound traffic. Photo 10 shows another example of a semi-truck trailer combination violating an MCA by crossing over the double yellow line and traveling westbound in the eastbound Main Street travel lane on street parking area across the street from the eastbound City Building into oncoming eastbound vehicular traffic. Photo 11 shows another example of a truck MCA violation where a delivery truck came to a complete stop to make deliveries, straddling the solid yellow stripe on Main, which is not uncommon, forcing westbound traffic around the delivery truck into the eastbound travel lane. Photo 12 is another example, just a different configuration. Photo 13 shows an oversized overload trailer combination violating the MCA by traveling westbound and eastbound West Gale Street lane and stopping in the eastbound travel lane, blocking northbound and/or southbound traffic from turning onto West Gale Street. Photo 14, same scenario. Westbound and eastbound travel lane, then stopping eastbound, blocking northbound and southbound Wiley vehicular traffic from turning onto West Gale Street. You see the cars in there. Photo 15 shows another example. Traveling westbound on the eastbound Gale Street, then stopping in the eastbound lane. In this case, a pickup truck trailer combination from turning up, stop to turn pickup truck trailer combination from turning on West Gale Street, as required to travel northbound on Wiley Drive and turn around another location or turn to West Gale Street. Photo 16 shows another example of a dump truck trailer combination violating an MCA by traveling eastbound on the westbound West Gale lane that almost collides with a westbound. 17 shows another example of an oversized semi-trailer violating the MCA by traveling eastbound on the westbound Gale Street and almost collides with a public school bus, forcing it into the northwest Gale Street borrow pit. Photos 18 and 19 shows another example of a dump truck, sometimes empty, sometimes fully loaded, that has traveled a minimum of 4 to 5 blocks on West Gale Street extensively every week, multiple times daily, and sometimes up to 4 to 5 times at full speeds, well in excess of the 25 miles an hour speed limit, multiple times at speeds in excess of 50 miles an hour while traveling eastbound and eastbound westbound travel lanes, and also traveling westbound and eastbound travel lanes, violating multiple MCAs for months and months. To no transient business point of destination that benefited any known East Helena resident in the vicinity of West Gale Street, violating the East Helena truck ordinance every time it traveled each way on Gale. In addition, the same junk truck also routinely violates the East Helena compression engine brakes ordinance by slowing down at the east end of West Gale Street to turn into a commercial storage facility just short of Morton Avenue, and also at the west end of West Gale Street to turn onto Wiley Drive due to the excessive speeds this dump truck was traveling and routinely travels southbound, which again violated the East Helena truck ordinance, with the most recent occurrence being on December 3rd, 2025 at 2:16. See photo 19 attached. Photo 20 shows another example of a dump truck violating an MCA after turning onto West Gale Street from the northbound travel lane of Wiley Drive by traveling eastbound in the eastbound westbound West Gale Street travel lanes at a rate of speed in excess of 50 miles an hour while traveling the entire length of West Gale Street on November 24, 2025 at approximately 12:15 p.m., along with violating both the eastbound truck ordinances without a point of destination anywhere near the vicinity of West Gale Street and the
Mr.
eastbound compression engine brakes ordinance while slowing down before turning onto Morton Avenue North. Photos 21 and
Jensen,
22.
public comment is to be limited to a reasonable duration. I didn't limit you to 4 minutes tonight. Now let me finish. I appreciate your public comment. You have 34 pictures here. Many of them are redundant, and you've spoken well to them previously to the council. The council also has written comment. Could you please summarize your comments?
This one, I'm getting to the meat of it, right?
Let's get there.
The meat of it. Photos 21 and 22 shows only two different examples, of which there are many more, of residential street pavement damage on West Yale Street. Before, there were small areas of pavement damage, just a little cracking due to the oversized semi-truck trailer accommodations traveling during spring thaw last spring on sections of pavement that were replaced only a couple of years ago, that now have expanded into very large continuous areas of pavement cracking, rutting, and sinking that will soon have to be replaced prematurely again. Due to fully loaded dump trucks and oversized trailer combinations that were over 90 feet long, used to transport very large loads of heavy equipment and eastbound, westbound from the commercial storage facility. Today at approximately 3:30 p.m., oversized overload side dump traveling eastbound too fast for a residential neighborhood actually pulled water up from the subgrade to the top of the pavement while other areas of West Gale Street remain dry. So now you've got a real problem. It should be noted that this red, yeah, that whole, that one thing is 30 feet long. So I think it was photos 21. It's now 30 feet long. It should be noted that this residential street paving damage could have been avoided altogether if the East Helena Truck Ordinance and East Helena Compression Brakes Ordinance, along with various other MCAs, were enforced and corrective action would have taken place back in February, March 2025. Photos 23 and 24.
We surmising or just continuing to go down
Yeah,
through every
no,
photo?
yeah.
Let's surmise, okay?
Yep.
You got like a minute.
Okay, then I'll come back on in there. I'll
Yeah,
come back and
we
finish the
can
other one later.
redundant pictures, we can do it again.
No, these aren't redundant pictures now.
Please
These ones,
surmise. Please
23 and
surmise. It's
24, are
public
true.
comment. Please
Yep,
surmise.
yep. Okay. In addition, and even though numerous East Helena complaints have been filed with the East Helena Police Department and numerous discussions with the mayor and the Public Works Director, along with numerous different public presentations have been made, both the elected East Helena residents, representatives, and non-East Helena city makers, no action has been taken over the last year to address and correct the traffic, contractor mobilization issues that are still negatively impacting the city of East Helena. As a direct result, the following occurred on November 12th on the 300 and 400 blocks of West Gale. Instead of dropping off pavement rolling equipment as close to the pavement laydown location as possible, utilizing the residents' on-street parking, that hired the contractor, then moving transport vehicles and trailers to the north side barrel pit, or parking them in the town pump parking area. They mobilized by parking dump trucks, transport trailers, and asset truck trailers in the westbound travel lane, both the 300 and 400 blocks of West Gale, resulting in paving equipment and rolling equipment having to be unloaded and blocking the westbound travel lane with no traffic control on site. Then traveling hundreds of feet down the eastbound and westbound travel lanes of West Gale, gouging and damaging the travel lanes in conjunction with also restricting the size of the eastbound lane, along with blocking the eastbound travel lane with paving and rolling equipment, thus restricting West Gale altogether traffic control on site. It should be noted at approximately 1:04 p.m. on November 12, 2025, the East Helena Police Department vehicle traveled eastbound on the 400 block of West Gale, but instead of traveling through the restricted narrow eastbound travel lane, 300 block of West Gale, or at least stopping to address the apparent traffic issues caused by the abandoned trailer left in the westbound travel lane of the 400 block, or by the trailers and equipment blocking the westbound travel lane on the 300 block. The police vehicle quickly turned on third and proceeded south
Okay,
to
the
Highway
minute is
30.
up. Thank you to public enough. Like we surmise is not good to reading.
Yep, we'll deal with the other one later.
Okay.
I mean, basically, I'm almost done. I mean, basically,
We're
I
done.
should
We're
probably
done.
do it at another time.
So
Okay,
next up is the
26.
approval of minutes of the December. Actually, is there any further public comment? Is there any online, Kath?
No, sir. Nobody's on.
Thank you. Well, in front of you, Council, you have the approval of the December 2nd, 2025 minutes. Is there any public comment on those minutes?
Motion to approve.
A motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor? All right. Judge Lovelace does not have a report on this one, does he? I don't believe he does. No.
No.
No. And so that moving past that, we go to departmental reports. Amy is excused. We'll skip her and move on to Chief Sanders.
Evening, everybody. Tonight's my last one, so
Boo. Lucky you.
we've had 235 calls for service so far this month. Luckily, that's down from what it's been from the majority of the year, but it's kind of about sick vacations and things like that. To add to that, but officers received some RAP training last Thursday, December 11th. The RAPs used for persons that are under arrest that are combative. I had put someone in a kind of a, I don't know, pretzel type position, and you're unable to fight back and for the safety of the person and the officers and whatnot. So,
which one of our officers is the best rapper?
Could we have a performance?
No.
Is MC Ed? Is he
fun to watch? We even put Bonnie in.
Oh, nice.
She was our kid.
She could fight her.
Was she scrapping you?
No. She gave up pretty.
Oh. She's from Winston. I wouldn't be.
And on the same day, last Thursday, Ed attended the 911 advisory board meeting. Nothing really to report on that. They were talking about some procedural issues. Bonnie and Chris and I attended the Chamber of Coffee today. Saw Wes. Deputy Chief Royce and I attended the MRDTF executive meeting today via Zoom and listening to the discussions, which I'll go into later, about the MRDTF Border Patrol MOU. And then on Thursday, Ed and I have a towing association meeting starting at 6:30. And then we have a Wilson Clark County IT meeting. And then we have HP Chief Petty. That's all I have regarding the police department. If I could just have a few minutes. I don't know if I should have said it in the public comment or now at the time, but anyways, I from the bottom of my heart, I want to say it's been an absolute pleasure out here working with all of you. It's an amazing place. You know, Mayor, City Council, thanks for having the confidence in me to hire me to be your police chief. It's been a lot of work, and I think we can see the fruits of the labor. We hear every day positive comments from the community. So I think I don't want to speak for anybody else, but it shows the progress we've made over the last 4 years. And like I've said, it takes a village to make things work. It was a big lift, and thank you to all of them for being a part of that process. It's, I said, it wasn't easy on you all either. Thank you. I want to say thanks to Pete. Thanks to Roger. Thanks to Kevin. Thanks to Amy. All of you have been just a super important part of the police department and its success. And I want to say thanks to Ed Royce, his commitment to the city of East Helena, been just absolutely tremendous, and we pulled a lot of advancement and whatnot to Ed, and he's just been a tremendous asset to the city of East Helena, and a dear friend as well. The officers aren't here, but just like the public, say thanks to them. We couldn't have gotten to where we are today without their buying into the mission and vision and our goals of obtaining the confidence and trust with the community and all of our law enforcement, first responder partners in the area. They deserve a mountain of gratitude for all that they've done to make it where we are today. But again, I'm just very proud to be a part of everything with this community. It's a great place. Always remain a important part in my life. Don't be surprised if I come out and sit on some mission meetings every now and then just to say hi or whatever else. But you all are very, very special people, and you're all here for the right reasons. That combination equals success. So I wish you all the best in future endeavors. And I said, you'll see me around every now and then. I'm not even the area or anything like that. again. Thank you to all of you. It's been a lot of fun. So that's all I have.
You teach. So yeah, the you still have 15 days to work. Start with that. And we did have to change the police chief application. We had to ask for people's boot size because there's some pretty big shoes to fill. So
the change of locks too.
Like, hey, we're gonna need to make sure you got some pretty big feet, Bill. So again, the appreciation is all ours. I think it has to be for one of the stars. But, thank you again. Kevin, follow that.
I'm following that. I gotta write down what time I started talking here for Amy's notes.
All right. A couple comments before Kevin goes.
You can.
I just wanted to thank you too. It's interesting that you humbling that you thank us. When you brought us out of the brink of, we were in a disaster. So thank you.
There's a good article in the, I guess they're calling it the East Helena Monitor. Yeah, I want to read the game today. Very, very good article regarding your retirement.
So they caught that very well.
It was fun.
Now, Kevin.
I know. This
time. You had to go right in a different time down, didn't you? Wait, hold on, Kevin. We got to talk some more.
So just a few things to go over. First of all, kudos, guys. It's been a pleasure. Everybody knows how awesome you are, so don't be a stranger. For the record, whoever your predecessor is, Porkchop calls me at least a couple times a week to tell me what I'm doing wrong. So, the phones work great. You can call up and be like, you know you did this, and it's great. Montana Avenue lift pump, that original pump failed this last couple weeks. It's been kind of going on and off. They ended up having to pull it today and replace it with our spare. So his state will be sending up an MDA rebuilt. Appreciate the guys. That is probably one of the dirtiest jobs that they have to deal with, is pulling those lift pumps out of the ground, but they keep good attitude, then I sure appreciate it. I made a note on here. So we had the DN tanks came out to do the inspection, as you guys know, for the warranty inspection on McCullenkirk tanks. And through that inspection, they made all the repairs, no problem there. And then as we shock chlorinated that, the chlorine dose was high, so we had to drain some out and dechlorinate it, which is not uncommon, not a big deal. But the drain line started leaking and running towards the neighbor's house as we did that. So again, remember, this is the drain line is not new infrastructure to the tank. It's literally been in there since the 30s. We went up there and cameraed it. It has a significant break to it that's seems fairly new. So we'll be digging and repairing that. I just wanted to clarify that this wasn't a failure of something new. This is infrastructure that we just haven't been able to afford to replace that is starting to fail. So
how much line length?
It's just going to be like a 20-foot stick. Didn't cause any damage to anything. And it's just the drain. We don't have to drain it anytime soon. So I'm hoping that they'll be able to fix it, hopefully maybe even this next week. But if the weather sets in and it goes till spring, that's okay too. It's just not a big deal. And if we have to drain it, the break's on the top. So we'll just drain it slow and keep it at the bottom of the pipe if we need to or something. It's totally usable. I did get a call and I have an update on this. I got a call yesterday that Republic Garbage Service was changing their signage at the landfill saying that they were no longer open during the weekend, that it was only Monday through Friday. So I got a contact today for Republic Garbage Service, which has been a little bit harder to get. A very nice gentleman named Joseph. I can't remember. Canoli?
I didn't talk to him.
I told you the name. Anyway, so they are looking at seasonally being open on the weekends. And I understand this. Tri-County struggled with this too. Since November, they average only 1 to 5 cars over their scales all day during the weekends. I think it's something we can work with them on. We do have the dumpster out at the wastewater plant too. We could look at if residents, you know, in the winter have to do a garbage transfer of some sort. So we'll work through that. It was a positive conversation with them today. I was pleasantly surprised by that. So if you see the sign, don't panic. There are open discussions on that, and recognize that our contract says that they're open on the weekend, but it's something that even with Tri-County was challenging over the last couple of years, because it is hard to pay an employee to service one or two people coming across the scales like the Mathis doesn't equal out there. Last couple things. So If you haven't noticed, most of the town didn't notice, we had to take down the Christmas lights on Main Street. So we bought the new lights, same company, same manufacturer, exact same order on the lights. However, they're just built sturdier than they were back in the late 90s. And they weigh probably about 150 pounds more each section compared to our old lights. And the power poles that we have, or light pole that we have been hooking them to, are also considerably aging. It started bending the light poles considerably, like 2 to 3 feet a pole. And there was quite a bit of sag in those. We ended up having to take them down just out of safety. Plus, it was underneath that 13.6, which we have to keep for semi-trucks to travel under. Working with Northwestern Energy, they've been great. We'll come up with a fix of some sort. We'll have lights next year, just not this year. Kelly calls me the Grinch.
You stole Christmas. You stole it right from the Main Street.
Anyway,
if only we had a guy at Northwest Energy to talk about this.
I should show you guys my
poll. Now I know.
He did what he did.
Quite a few residents have texted and been like, I'm going to turn the lights down.
Right.
Everybody's been understanding. We'll work on it.
Blame Northwest.
My first hope is that we can just maybe look at putting guide wires in that pull on the opposite direction to secure them for the weight. If we can't do that, I've got a couple plan B options, but we'll just see where that goes. So we'll work through it.
To sneak down to town, it's always and presence.
Being we were making the exact same order, I never honestly one thought about the weight. And then once I talked to a couple gentlemen in Northwest, they're like, you know, those poles are like literally old, you know, they're old, you know, in the 70s and 80s, they were pretty strong, but they're getting weaker. Council member Dahl reached out to me, a couple weeks ago asking about why the dump site was closed out there. So we've been struggling with the dumpster. Originally, you know, 10 years ago when I first started, we were closing that seasonally. And then it wasn't being negatively impacted where we just left it open for residents to use that roll-off if they needed that. We were just leaving it open, you know, 7 days a week, basically. But lately we have run into, and I did include a couple pictures, not too many, just a couple, of what the site had looked like. We're struggling with, we believe it's contractors from all the construction going on that are just filling it up literally overnight. So we're just going to close it for the season. We changed the date combo as well, that we've given out to residents just in case it's somebody that was giving that up to their buddies or something. So if residents need the date combo to get in their off hours, they can call me. We'll happily help them with access into there. But for now, it's just closed for the season. We'll open it back up in the spring and hopefully filling that up like that. And then lastly, Amy and I, and Amy was going to be here to talk about this, but I'll try to fill it in. So there's a few budget adjustments that we have coming down the pipe a little bit. And mostly that has to do with the ARPA project funds. And then there is some fiscal year 25 cleanup with ARPA stuff. Amy thinks she wants to do the fiscal year 25 cleanup probably in the next month or two, just working with the auditors. And what that is we just underestimated the expense and we underestimated the revenue. We just spent more of those ARPA funds in fiscal year 25 than we thought we were. The funds were there. So it's not a big deal. It's just making the expenditures and expenses match on that. And then for fiscal year 26, originally in July of this year, we were hoping that we weren't going to have to spend. We committed in fiscal year 25, $60,000 in local funds out of the water fund for the ARPA projects. And again, $60,000 out of $2.5 million for free. It made sense. We didn't want to give any money back, was the logic behind that. Midsummer, it didn't look like we were going to have to use those funds. Now that we're closing those out, we are going to have to use those funds. There's also, there's about $65,000, roughly, I don't have the final number yet, of in and out money that property owners and the developers paid for improvements on that water main. I had put that in the ARPA funds portion. Amy very nicely told me I could not do that, and we have to move those just in local funds. It's just in and out money. It doesn't affect us anyway. So what Amy wants to do for this next year is just wait until that April, May, until we get everything figured out. So you guys will just do one budget adjustment for that stuff. And again, just closing loans out. But I did have a call with the person that represents the ARPA funding for our area in those. She highly spoke of what a great job both Amy and Trish did, that she wishes other communities did quite the job that they did in keeping everything so precise and easy to read. So kudos to those guys for the great job they did. And other than that, I'm going to sit down if you don't have questions.
Kevin didn't mention his under number five. Chief will not let me use Tannerite.
Oh.
If anybody has the other cool ideas, I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
16 more days. It's all yours.
Right.
We will be gently dipping an excavator bucket into the creek to remove an old beaver dam.
Or it blows up before that.
Look with the gentle part.
Gentle.
Those dams are tough.
Yeah, Chief told me this is frowned upon to use Tannerites. I don't know.
Pretty neat to watch.
So spectacular. Like, Chief Campbell.
I'll bring popcorn.
You might want to be careful. Your house might get some of the sticks coming out of that thing. Chief Campbell.
Good evening, everyone. I again want to just piggyback on everybody else and thank Chief Sanders. It's been a great working relationship with the athletic leader. I look forward to working with his predecessor, and I say that I enjoy working with all of his officers. We've only done this picture. Minor things, but that's to be expected. It's a pleasure to work with the police department, and I hope the team is doing thank you, Mike. Have a good time. Thank you. We did Christmas stroll, some huge successful event for us. We did have one minor incident during it. We did have a lost child. We immediately contacted the police. They came over. We sent people out. Within minutes, we were able to locate the child who was with another person from that party. None of us got to tell mom. So it was a successful outcome for us overall. Tomorrow we'll be meeting with the people from the state of Montana to renew our emergency medical license. We don't anticipate any problems with that at all. Calls have been calm, say. We won't use any other word, say calm. We hope to stay that way through the holiday season. That's about it for us at the fire department. If anybody have any questions for us.
Better knock on that podium right now.
Thanks, Chief. A lot of Christmas trees just went up. I'm like, yeah.
Do you feel comfortable with how they organized this role this year? I was very comfortable, and I did talk to Steph afterwards. They had a couple vendors look like didn't show up. She said she shrank the size of the number of vendors they allowed in. I was super happy with the way it went. I came up a couple times during just to kind of check it out because I've actually never checked it out. So. But yeah, overall, super successful night, and ton of people out. Super nice weather, so yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hold on, I'm just stressed for training, so thanks.
So that leads us to unfinished business. We have a request to reissue and or cancel stale dated checks. Amy had a kind of an emergency name to go that was already on there. I'll call for public comment on it. My recommendation is obviously to table this. She's not here, it's her thing. But is there any public comment on the request? Seeing none, council?
I'll move to table.
I have a motion to table.
Second.
And second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, that brings us to new business. We got a discussion on the proposed changes to the Missouri River Drug Task Force, MOU. And I'm going to kind of give this a very little preface, but we have MOU changes, and that Chief has kind of reviewed this and other communities have reviewed it. That's at this point, I'll leave it to Chief to kind of discuss how this impacts our community.
This was, I don't know, probably kind of a surprise. Yeah, it was not kind of, it was a surprise. But what the plan is to add four patrol agents to the Missouri River Drug Task Force, two of them stationed here and working out of Helmand and two in Bozeman. Just to give you some background, some of my concerns. One, Border Patrol doesn't have Title 21 authority, which is the Controlled Substance Act, which is what the government's all about for drugs. I asked that question today. It turns out that DEA is going to bring them on as a task force officer, which gives them the Title 21 authority to them for them to do or participate in drug investigations here in the state of Montana. I've got a big concern with that. If the original federal agency doesn't have the authority and you have to go somewhere else to get it to make you fit in the box, some red flags popping up. And not that it's any liability to or added liability to the Missouri River Drug Task Force. It's just odd. One of the county attorneys today mentioned his concern of increased liability of the vagueness of the old version. He hadn't seen the new version. We didn't see the new version that Bozeman, the Bozeman city attorneys had made. As you can see with the revisions, they were minor to say the least, and really have no effect on the MOU itself. The reason that we're bringing this to you all in the city council is you all approve this MOU every 2 years. It's change. That's why we're bringing it to you. Everybody on the call today, Lewiston Clark County, Broadwater County, Madison County, Marr County, Gallup Counties, Sweetgrass, our counties. Everybody agreed to support the MOU with the Border Patrol, the addition, except for Helen. It's pretty much a non-starter with the city manager, the now city manager. I know he's only going to be there 2 more weeks, but hearing Chief Petty on the call, it's a non-starter with the city commission. It's whatever political side you're on, immigration is a priority for the current government. Helena went through some very negative press in July when they were out helping the marshals make an arrest on who they thought was a fugitive. It ended up turning out somebody else. That somebody else was not a documented person in the United States. And now all of a sudden it's all the police department's issue where they're out targeting illegal aliens or people, undocumented folks, however you want to label them or address them. With Kalispell's had some issues, Great Falls having some issues with just the negative connotation of us dealing with immigration issues. We have no authority for immigration to enforce any immigration law. We're not federal employees or federal law enforcement. We have invited to participate in learning more about documentation from Border Patrol and immigration folks here in Helena. We declined. We don't have the authority. It can bring us into I'll leave it to Pete to probably explain a little more, but it could bring us into a higher level of liability with some things that you're doing that you really don't have authority. The East Helena's Police Department's history of some negativity. I've always said we need time and distance. It's only been 4 years. I'm just here to ask you all if we were involved with the drug task force. They come and kick in the door here, and next thing you know, their work patrols pulling 4 or 5 people out, and the press gets a hold of it. Doesn't portray an accurate depiction of what happened. It's perception. It's not reality, but sometimes perception can be or negative and detrimental. That's why we're kind of bring it up to you all in January. My recommendation with this, you don't have an officer assigned to the task force, so our participation is pretty minimal. This year we've provided them, well, the last 2 years we've provided them with $4,000 last year and $5,000 this year to help with some expenses and whatnot. The reality is if we're on an MOU, no matter how big or small our involvement is, we're part of the month. I agree with the city of Volunteer and the chief committee there that the juice in this issue is not worth the squeeze. We can still pass information to the task force. The task force can still work out here. They're just not on paper or part of that. We may lose a little bit, I think, with that. But overall, I think that would be minimal. Again, we're happy to pass information to them and things like that to follow up on. But again, just my recommendation. It's there's a lot of bad perception that could come out of some of activity with an agency who's coming in to work drug work that doesn't have the authority to work drug work, that's given authority to work drug work by another federal agency just to be a part of this task force. It just is way more complicated than the OHCs. I'm conservative in my ways and conservative trying to limit my abilities for the police department and the city of East Town on that, and he's the expert on that. But I am of the opinion and my recommendation would be let's draw back from this, explore it a little more, just kind of pan out a little bit, the dust settles. Maybe some priorities may change in the next couple of years or whatever, and East Helena would not suffer or have the potential to suffer as much negativity as they don't deserve to have of being part of Joint Task Force. And that, again, we don't have a full-time employee in. But I'm here to tell you that they will readily absorb any leave that you give them, and they will happily investigate any of those leads. It's like I said, it's not a big loss for us per se. I think it's just limits us to any potential really negative us. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's going to happen. That's just the way it is. So that's all I have to say about it. It's an information only. Figured you all would want my opinion on it and just help you understand that.
So she said this is obviously information only, and this will come as an action item later on. For you guys to decide, I think that's where it should lie. But I do appreciate Chief's expertise. I mean, Chief's years of expertise in this arena is super valuable, and that's why I think he wanted to get this in front of you today with some information and his experience and exposure to this. And I do also appreciate Chief's concern for the the city of East Helena's exposure going forward. So I do appreciate your time, and if anybody has any questions, I think that you would be probably the most suited person in this room to answer these questions. So I think now would be a good time if you guys have questions of him to really understand, because I think going forward this is the important decision, and I think Chief's perspective is not only valuable but super worldly and educated on this matter. So that's why it's an information only tonight.
So essentially, this is an addendum to the agreement they already have, which is why we're not being asked to vote on it. It's an agreement we're already a party to. They're 2-year MOUs that we have with the Missouri River Drug Task Force. So it's coming up for renewal. You heard the chief's recommendation that this is kind of a non-starter for where he wants the department to go. I share his hesitations. I think there's some issues with prolonging stops and sharing information on things that our officers just, and they're charged with municipal code and state law, and that's it. So all the training they get. But again, it sounds like the only one back out so far, or at least indicate, was the city of Helena, and a lot of other counties have reviewed this, but this is an issue that I think the elected members of the council need to weigh. And I think you've heard, I don't think you'd have a better expert speak on his personal feelings on it other than the guy that just stood up this department and served for 27 years for the DEA and the need to have them intertwined here. So that's all I got. If you have questions, let me know.
More importantly, you got the questions of Chief Sanders this time. I feel like his respect is, you know, has been said very valuable. So that's why we wanted to get in front of you now. I can't answer questions about drug enforcement. Really as good as this man. None of us can.
So did you say that the Border Patrol doesn't have the authority to, Title 21,
yeah.
But then the DEA would come in and sort of make them part of, can you just talk about that?
How it works now is the Border Patrol only sees, you'll just say, 500 pounds of cocaine on the southwest border, Arizona. They take possession of the cocaine. They detain the persons involved in that transportation or that seizure. They immediately call up the DEA, say, hey, we've got 500 pounds of cocaine for you down here. We've got two people detained. And the DEA drives down to that checkpoint, takes possession of the drugs, takes possession of the arrestees, and all the prosecution, investigation, everything else with that case is DEA's. Mm-hmm. So again, they don't have that authority. It's, again, they have to have a lot of Peter to pay Paul to make things work. It just makes me really, really nervous. So, and again, if you don't have the authorities to do that, you don't have the experience, it's necessary, personally would think that, you know, necessary I'm not diminishing their role in any way whatsoever. I'm just saying that if they needed more bodies, it would be better to get more bodies from Helena PD, the sheriff's office, Broadwater County, you know, something like that, where those people definitively have the authority to do it, and it's in their own backyard, and nobody's going to know the backyard better than the people that work there. And again, I fully support and understand that, you know, people have committed crimes coming in here. That needs to be addressed. That's a whole different issue from the Missouri River Drug Task Force. Do some of those folks that are here illegally transport illegal substances, narcotics into the United States? Absolutely. Do they crisscross? Absolutely. But again, they're separate issues. Are separate crimes. One's a state crime that could potentially go federally, one specifically federal crime that we have no authority, no purpose being involved in that area. So,
but we're not being asked to be involved in that. We're asking to coordinate with them, correct?
No,
we're not asking to do anything above our current jurisdiction allows.
Correct.
Okay.
It was just going to allow them to go above and beyond what their authorities are.
But the federal government has the authority to do that
absolutely
regardless over the state local authorities as it is. So they're just asking for coordination from what I'm understanding, not for our police officers to go above our jurisdiction. Is that correct?
That's correct. But if they're going to kick in a door on, you know, a 400 block of West Riggs, they're going to call. They're going to say, East Town Police Department, we're going to need your assistance. We're going to kick in a door in the 400 block of West Riggs. So we've got a marked unit, at least one officer, if not a couple officers over there, kicking the door, seeing animal. There's drugs found, people are arrested. Some of those people turn out that they're here illegally. And the picture on the front page is East Town Police Department with a car out front with an officer helping escort one of the detainees or arrestees to their car to transport that arrestee to the county because those agencies involved don't have pages to transport people in. So now it's, the perception could be East Helena did all this.
But in your hypothetical, what did they also accomplish?
They took dope off the street.
Correct.
They arrested bad people who are involved in the usage or distribution of drugs here in East Helena. And they arrested people here that are here illegally or without authorization.
But the main point of it is the drugs.
Nothing's against the law. That what's going on.
Right.
It's just how the picture can be painted.
But it can also be painted that we took drugs off the street and people that were here illegally are no longer transporting drugs into our community.
Yeah.
And again, so there's a perception on both sides that I think is critical to make sure that we are understanding as well.
Absolutely.
In this hypothetical situation.
Full agreement. I just want you all to see what could potentially be like the worst case scenario. And again, like Wes is saying, that it could be painted that, hey, got 500 pounds of methamphetamine off the street out of a house in the 400 block of West Riggs and arrested three people.
So
to
just,
East Helena was a big part of that.
To just reaffirm your concern, though, is that there's been agencies within the state and that have had that not be their case. It's been many Helena cops take family, break it up. That's the exposure that's been happened. That's what has happened, correct?
The picture that's been painted has not been a true depiction of what happened.
Sure.
I wouldn't say it was embellished or anything like that. It was just weighted in another way was not favorable to the local law enforcement agencies.
And that was your concern.
And participation.
Has Missouri Reverse Drug Task Force been a benefit to the residents of East Helena?
Absolutely.
Because if the potential is that we don't renew it, that to me is a detriment to the residents of our community.
No, it's not, because they can still come and investigate.
But we're not coordinating with them to the extent that we would otherwise. And them is all of the other departments as well.
If we get information on a house that's either manufacturing drugs, storing drugs, or drugs are being sold out of, we're with 100% certainty going to fill out the Missouri River Task Force information form to provide them the intelligence of.
So
this is what we've learned.
To Suzanne's point and to mine, I also think that there's a, and especially for the residents of East Helena, removing ourselves from the Missouri Riverfront Task Force has a very negative connotation as well.
Absolutely.
And so I see that as a negative, saying, oh, well, we're not taking it seriously. We got a new chief and we're not going to be a part of this. And drugs, what's the number one crime that we face in the city of East Helena now?
Dog at large.
Felon crime. What's the largest felon?
I would say 80% of the crime that you deal with, and this is across the board, anywhere in probably the United States, it's either tied to alcohol or drugs.
And what is the largest amount of evidence
it
we have?
Driving.
What is the largest amount of evidence we collect?
Sure.
So removing ourselves from an agreement that helps get drugs off the street, regardless of who all is involved, to me also sends a very negative perception.
It could. And again,
that's why it's part of these guys. That's what's about.
But I'm to Suzanne's point is.
But I just too many questions. It is the point, but I disagree with what perception could be, because I mean, I think it's going to be worse to have more control people.
And I don't. I think that having another coordinating office is only beneficial.
Yeah. Does anybody have any informational questions for Chief Edison? We will have this. This is going to come up as an action item. So this discussion will continue. But I would like, I think it was valuable to get Chief's perspective.
And from the call that you had this afternoon, the only other agency out of these that is not planning to continue is the Helena Police Department, correct?
Yes.
Well, Delray, Bozeman, all the counties are still planning to continue their coordination.
Yeah, and a lot of those none of those cities are bringing it in front of their councils. It's a city manager decision. So
you don't have one of those.
Spin on what's going on here in East Helena. Again, it's we just felt it was important for you all to be educated on it and think about it and have a decision. They're going to ask next week. There's a meeting that's scheduled for Monday or Tuesday. I think how Petty left it is he said he needed to see the revisions made by the city of Bozeman to see if they would be significant enough to change the city manager's decision. This we'll wait to see. In my humble opinion, the changes were pretty minimal and probably not going to change anything. They'll just have to wait until next Monday or Tuesday to see it happen, and we'll just tell them that it's going to be brought in front of the council by the first week of January, so we don't have a decision. We don't have a response to give you other than, we're going to have to wait for a couple of them.
The elected decision makers of the city will make the decision, as it should be. Right?
Yep.
Chief, I always appreciate your perspective. Thank you. Just for even bringing that to our attention, I appreciate you doing that. All right, that brings us to the mayor's report. He's much more boring. He went to the Christmas Carol. He loved it. He won a basket. Anyone else want a basket?
No.
That's right.
How many tickets did you buy?
That's not pertinent to the winning. The winning occurred. One basket down. So that's another year I got a basket. Always good.
Years.
I get writer's cramp showing all those things out, man. I'm gonna get a stamp. I love winning a basket though. Had lunch with RPA today. They always appreciate they provide a lunch for all the employees and give back to the people who work here. So it's really appreciated that. Give them a little shout out here. I think it's mostly for the employees. I snuck in here and ate it. Kevin doesn't invite me either, really. To be honest, I was uninvited. But I weaseled my way into it. I was not invited. He did not give me date time, but I found out. I got people that tell me around the city, not Kevin. Met with Wes and an aerospace company. Interesting to see that they're exploring possible sites to look at, and they'll be coming around again. And it was interesting just to meet with people and get a little perspective. I'm not really usually privy to this business engagement at that early of a moment, but it was always interesting to see. And the big one, had a meeting with the regional director. There's a lot of words. His name is Cyrus Western, and he is a major regional director for the Environmental Protection Agency, regarding all the city's instances. Pete was in attendance of that, as well as Kevin. He was less, I would say, open to some of the city's positions than the other gentleman I sent, but we made it clear where the city stood on all things from the trust group and water rights and all the other things that deal with the cleanup. So still keep beating those doors down with the EPA, but I think it was made fairly clear to us that they would like to see us negotiate with the state further, and they are, you know, deferring to the state regarding decision making. That would be my perspective. But they would like to see us negotiate with them further. I'm like, did you read the letter? But so yeah, that happened. So we're gonna on that note, look forward. I'm gonna try to organize a, I don't even know how to go about it. Let's call it a cleanup stakeholders powwow meeting about what, where we're at and what, where we want to see it going forward. I kind of want to get my thoughts a little more concise about how I want to frame that discussion, but I think there needs to be all the people in the room having an honest conversation about that and to try to initiate some action. I think action has been the hardest thing to happen there. So we'll try that again. And if not, I'll email and say, Mr. Western, and say, I tried. But yeah, that was my week and all those good things. Have not been to a vigilante basketball game yet. Intend to go. Yeah, I haven't made one. So that's it for me. Any questions? Not exciting. Cool. Councilor report. Councilor Dahl.
I did Christmas stroll and a convoy. Ended up apple cider. Hot, cold, and some boiling, some not. Some warm. Yeah. So anyway, it was a good turnout. That's about it.
Councilor Leland.
I think I could use ditto off of what he did.
Ditto. Councilor.
Conflict. Great success.
A lot of people.
There was a lot of hooting going on. Just a little time.
Councilor Feist.
Don't get to ditto because I was at performances at Radley the whole time and they were 45 minutes behind. So I got zero Christmas strolling. I got lots of Christmas heat in the Radley gym, but still got to enjoy my kids' performances. But I'm hoping that the school district does something different next year because all those families literally couldn't leave. And it was unfortunate to not be able to come down to the stroll. Did have coffee with the chamber this morning. Another good turnout, I think, and the chief and the police department often show and are there to provide information, which is helpful and good. We had an MBAC board meeting tonight about budget. Nothing too interesting moving forward. But one other thing that was today was the community review kickoff. So folks, Jacob was there, the library. There were for the community review that they're doing on behalf of economic development for East Helena. And they chose us, and Montana Economic Developers Association chose to award that funding and that review to East Helena. So it'll help with future economic development and just within growth in general. And then Kelly and I met with that organization. It would be a possible up to $200 million investment into our community and looking to possibly employ 200 people. So it could be a great opportunity for East Helena, and they don't use a lot of water, which is also helpful.
They don't need water.
They do use some, but cool opportunity. So, and then there will be more to come about the community review process with MBAC, and so keep your eyes peeled for that because they're going to be public meetings, and there will be surveys that are sent out, and it's not just to the city limits; it's to the surrounding community as well. On that, it was my voice. Thank you.
Councilmember Ferguson.
Same thing as Dawn as Judy. Last night I did spend quite a while at the East Gate gym with the kindergarten kids doing their performances. They were awfully cute. So that was fun. Never been in that school. I think Carter was the cutest kid then, but I might be biased. Oh, did you have one there too? Oh.
No, it's always true.
Carter is good. Good stuff. He came and got some cider from me.
Yeah.
He's good stuff.
So that's all I have.
Thank you. All right. Well, at least it's the payment of the bills.
No, it doesn't.
Well, we're going to let Pete talk. I was going to cut him out of that today. Here you go.
All right. Let's start with the library that was mentioned. Wes had reached out. We have been, honestly, playing email tag. County Attorney's Office is putting it together initially. So I'm hoping here in January, he slammed being the end of the year. So hopefully here in January, we'll start to see some movement on that. They're going out for architectural plans for that, but it is moving forward. It's already come before the council. You guys have given your head shake to it, but you'll be seeing an agreement coming. The EPA meeting was less factually based and more politically based, and he definitely had not read the letters. He's the Eastern Administrator for the EPA, which I didn't know what that was until after the meeting. I Googled it, and it became clear that it is not a factually based decision that folks are making. Essentially, we're being asked to go back and there's two decision makers. It's the state of Montana and it's the EPA. And we had reached the top of both of those echelons. And he suggested we go back. It didn't really register with I just would concur with Kelly. And I think Kevin kind of had the same, like, I don't want to speak for you, but it was sort of disconcerting, disappointing. Because I did all the math and it just that didn't matter. It was, which is a bummer when you think about like an. Anyway, it was a disappointing meeting, but I can't say, you can't say that we're not trying to turn over all the rocks and to be asked to go back and turn over some rocks that were already kicked is just okay. I described it as there's a Jerry Seinfeld, and you guys both laughed when I brought it up. There's the Jerry Seinfeld stand-up he did. I thought it was last year, but it was like 2020. Anyway, he talked about negotiating or talking to his spouse about like something, and he's like, it's like playing chess, but the board is made of flowing water and the pieces are made of smoke. And that's what it feels like trying to negotiate. Like, who are we supposed to talk? Like, it's impossible. The next meeting, you'll see. We will have an agenda item that'll be an information only. We're expecting the Rose Hill subdivision, that's the Habitat for Humanity, to have a request that we essentially bond some major infrastructure. And it's not quite clear from the city's perspective. We've had some initial meetings with them what that infrastructure would be, that we SID it, special improvement district, for some, like, you consider the water tower. There may be an avenue where it's not necessarily a water tower, but a water tank and some other stuff. From the subdivider, we don't know what they're requesting, but anyway, they would subdivide it and have some of the infrastructure captured by an SID that would then be backstopped by the not by the city, because typically we wouldn't issue a bond, the city backs it up. But in this case, it'd be the Board of Investment through the state. There was some money set aside through the legislature. But we'll have a whole discussion of the implications and ramifications of that. On that specific subdivision. Again, we're always sort of shooting from the dark because we're not the subdivider. We don't tell them what to do, but we are very aware that they are going to come with a request. We want you all to make a very informed decision. So Courtney, who's the bond counsel for the city, but also working with other people, I sent an email and got some information back. Okay, they can go up to $10 million through the Board of Investment. If you bond 10 million divided by the number of houses and square feet, and how much does that end up on their taxes under a City of East Helena assessment? And so that's the information we're going to bring to you, what we have, pending what the actual ask is from the developer. But you'll see that on the January 5th or 6th agenda. The intent is to read you all in as much information as we can possibly glean.
Which we're still compiling everything we can from the
Right, and
report.
they're still
Let's
deciding what
okay.
infrastructure, how they piece it. I'd assume that the ask, it can go up to 10 million, and I just had her poll, try to do the very generic math on 2.5 million, 5 million, 7.5, and 10. So, and how much of that shows up on their property tax bill as an assessment, mind you, for a new subdivision, we'll also have street maintenance and lighting and parks potentially, and then this extra. So that discussion is coming, and it's something you guys are going to have to weigh. But trying to get you as much information as possible so you can weigh that.
By when are they looking to have a decision?
So that was the email we got today, this morning. The Board of Investment has meetings, board meetings.
I want to make the February meeting for Board of Investment, right?
They're talking January 20th, which would be we're on the 6th. And we've not heard enough from the developer to even. So I don't think we're there. I thought she was pushing. I replied today. I'm bringing it to y'all tonight. I'm
The
not wrong.
developer is also every day changing his mind, what he
Every
is or is not wanting to include in this. So it's a work in progress.
Yep.
The timeline seemed pretty aggressive today, and from our our bond counsel on behalf of when to meet the timeline for a developer. Anyway, it's hard to tell where folks are lying. And then finally, the police officers continue to do amazing work. They're active and following every lead and doing a great job. And I cannot overstate where we were 4 years ago and the stress in my life it was trying to do my job as a city attorney and to where we are today and what Chief Sanders did. So I cannot stress how thankful I am for you for coming back. And then, so thank you. I think we have a police department that any small town should be proud of. We have amazing officers that are held to a high standard and they meet it every single day. And that's because of his leadership and the type of officers he requires and the folks he recruits and retains. So I think most folks like to back the blue, but they don't understand what it actually means day in and day out to have those folks showing up and doing the work and managing them. And anyway, thank you very much.
Thanks, Pete. Now we can pay the bills. Yeah.
Pay the bills.
And a motion to pay the bills. In a second, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, that leads us to adjournment. Before we adjourn, I'd just like to say Saturday is the largest sporting event in the state of Montana history. Go Grizz, and I'll adjourn this meeting at 7:40.
I had intentionally not mentioned it after we won.
See, this, the last thing says adjournment, Mayor Harris. It's like the last word.
Been so polite, too, man.